Good evening, Dangerous Beauties. This is your host, Shari. And tonight, I just wanted to kind of, I guess, post a challenge for everyone. And wanted to talk a little bit about giving and giving your first fruits. I don't know if any of you guys listening understands what first fruits are, but first fruits of your increase is a biblical term in scripture about giving pretty much your tithe and your offering to God or a charity or a nonprofit organization that you believe in, because giving back is so important, and supplementing, giving a little bit of your income to something that matters to you is so important, because there's so much more that needs to be done in the community and in our world that needs to change. And I think business was ultimately created for people to also be helped. It was the economy, I feel like, was built to help one another, to provide a need and a demand, meet that demand that is a need. You know, when you think about the beauty industry, it's a huge industry because there's a need. There's hairstylists, there are beauty products that need to be distributed. I mean, they're feminine products that people are going to need. There's a need. Everybody has something that they need, and businesses are created to meet that need, right? And so that's what nonprofits are created for. That's what churches are created for. Or, you know, if you're someone that is Muslim, hey, welcome to the podcast of The Dangerous Beauty. Mosques are created as well, and people need places to give their money and to help things fund it and keep going. You know, we have to keep the lights on at different businesses where we work, and money, it takes money to do that. You know, where I live, you know, Georgia Power has to get paid in order for those lights to stay on, you know, and the natural gas needs to stay on in order for people to, you know, operate their businesses the way that they need to, or even a home. And so my urge to people is just test God in this, you know, that he won't pour out abundance for your life when you tithe that 10%. You can even give to a church. I'm telling you, you'll see a return on that investment. You'll never return lack when you give with an abundant heart and a cheerful heart back to God what he's already blessed you with. I'm taught this principle. I've been taught it over the years, but I feel like it's been drilled into me even more so at the ministry that I attend, because it's very imperative that I remember who blessed me with the 90%, that I can at least give him his 10%. You know, the Bible talks about in Malachi, I think it's 3, will a man rob God? And it's like, we don't want to rob God of what he's blessed us with. Everybody needs, you know, something, and God needs our heart. That's really what it's about. God really doesn't need our money. He created everything, if you believe in that, whether or not you do or not. But the word tells us that he created everything, so he doesn't need our money. Our money really is just a covenant between he and I and us to just let him know that you trust him. It's all about trust. It's a trust factor. You know, you give your money where you trust, right? You trust the bank most of the time, you know, to hold your money and to save it. You trust that spouse that is good with money because they budgeted and they know where to invest it and where they know to add abundant to that, because they know, they have knowledge of it, they have wisdom of it. The same thing goes with God, but he has more than what your spouse could give you when it comes to investing. He owns the cattle on the hill, okay? He created the cattle on the hill. He would not withhold anything from his servants and people that live and do the right thing and teach these principles as well, because the world needs to know. It's about serving and it's about giving back. I think the Bible really has great principles in it, even if you're somebody that doesn't read it necessarily. But because you can go and just look at Deuteronomy 28 and how it talks about you being blessed when you obey. And giving is a covenant. And giving is an act of obedience to God, giving back what he blessed you with. I'm reminded of Abraham, how God, you know, asked of him to sacrifice his son, his promise. Sometimes we have to sacrifice portions of our business to get the best results, to get something different and get something greater. And Abraham was asked to just sacrifice that blessing that God blessed him with. And Abraham was credited to him as righteousness because he believed God and he had the ultimate faith, because he was like, even though I don't know what's going to be the outcome of them, the Lord will provide. And he put his son on the altar. It was just a replica of what Jesus was going to do later, that God was going to send his son to be sacrificed for for the world to save our sins. You know, that's a whole nother story. I'm not here to get you saved or anything. Not unless you want to be saved. But that's the ultimate, the theology behind Christianity, for those of you that don't know. But I'm just trying to make a point that you give, God will give back to you. That's the whole point. And you give to him, and 10% is all he asks. So if you ever are wondering what tithe is, you can go and Google it. You can go to the Bible and reference tithing and offering, and even reference prosperity scriptures. Like the Bible in Deuteronomy talks about God has created us to give us the ability to create wealth. So wealth is a lot more than money. But I know we talk in wealth and money and stocks and bonds and equity and homes and property and businesses. But I feel like wealth is our health, you know, spiritual wealth. Having a mental mind that is at peace, that's wealth. You know, joy is wealth. You know, those things are a part of the wealth that he's giving us. You know, and on top of that, you'll have those gifts and talents in that exuberance and cheerleader mentality to go and do those things that he's gifted you to create wealth, to set a standard and set yourself at a high value because you are a high ticket sales. Shout out to Jerisha Hawk, person and a millionaire on the inside, if that's what you want to be. I just wanted to encourage you in that. I hope no one, you know, finds me talking outside of my neck, or thinking that I don't know what I got going on here talking about, but it's really about tithing and giving, sowing a seed back. You know, we say we feel better when we give our time to other people, and time is wealth too. You know, we don't have a lot of it. You know, people are dying day by day, but I believe that there's something greater in all of us to give back. And I believe being a tither is about being a dangerous beauty too. Giving your 10% back to a local charity of your heart that you really have a heart for is a big thing. And that's what's about being dangerous too. Not everybody can do that. There are a lot of selfish people in this world that have wealth and choose not to give it because they want to hoard it for themselves. Well, let me just tell you something. You can't take it with you when you die. You can keep it going though, right? So I just want to encourage all of you guys tonight. I just want to say an encouragement word to you today that you live by faith, you know, and not by sight. And whatever you don't see coming into fruition, just know and believe that something's greater going to happen. Even if you think those things that be not as are, they already are. And you speak those things. Things will transform for your life. Just believe and receive. All right. Have a wonderful Sunday. I pray you're doing well today and be blessed in wealth and good health. Afternoon, Dangerous Beauties. This is your beauty coach here, Sheree. And I just wanted to chat a little bit with y'all today about the many different things that go on in jobs and different things. But I just wanted to encourage you, if you're somebody that works in the beauty industry, outside of the beauty industry, or somebody that is just an employee or even a manager, this is a post and podcast segment for you. Okay? It is okay for you to challenge your boss or your management. I'm going to repeat that. It is okay for you to challenge your boss and your management. And if you're an employee, you should work at a place where your boss and your management welcome that. Challenge as in, I'm not talking about give them attitude, give them lip, talking back. That's not the kind of challenging that I'm talking about. I'm talking about what would best serve you as an employee. I once heard someone tell me, when I had a statement to say about what I felt like the company could do better, she said, well, you're not supposed to talk about what the company needs to do for you. You shouldn't talk about what the company needs to do. Excuse me? Let me just roll the tape back on my life. I work many jobs, different jobs. And a lot of personal people probably know my job history in my life. I've had a lot of jobs. A lot of entrepreneurs have had a lot of jobs, okay? At one particular job, I'm not going to say any names, not important, but I'm going to tell you what I did and what I did not get from that job, exactly why I left that job. So after a certain amount of time, I start seeing some really weird things happen at this job, okay? I'm a praying woman, and I have an understanding about things, but I'm thankful to God for my mother, who also has an ear to listen to hear what she feels like God might be telling her about her children or things around her. She literally told me to just, hey, you know, I start feeling something really weird going on at this job. And I was like, something is just not right. You know, my manager had got fired and then like something was going on. It was a lot of weird stuff that, you know, when you're an employee, you don't know these things. You're just here working. And sometimes it's not your business, of course, but you're concerned because you're like, what is going on? Just a lot of weird things going on at this job. So when push came to shove, my mom had mentioned something to me that just only clarified and confirmed what I was feeling in my spirit and what was going on around me. I just didn't know because I couldn't put my thumb on it. She was just like, why don't you pray about, you know, God showing you those people's hearts at that job, Ebony. My real name is Ebony for y'all who don't know. Sherry. And I'm like, okay, well, let me do that. And as soon as that happened, I started to see things come out. Like, things happened. The boss came, you know, got fired. And then there's all this weird stuff going at our job. A lot of people had to go into meetings with HR. It was really weird. HR came up from another state and had to talk to us about things that were going on. And we didn't know this as employees. We're like, what the heck? And I knew something felt off. You know, when you discern something in your spirit, you might not can read what's going on because nobody's saying anything, but you know something is not right. Long story short, my boss got brought back. Because something was a first count for him and then nothing else happened, whatever. He was cool, whatever. And I liked my manager at that particular job. It was just, I think he felt conflicted about a lot of different things going on because there were some people that were doing things wrong and he wanted to please the upper people that were above him. In any case, after that person came up there, I was always taught to write down everything you hear. I mean, it was the wannabe lawyer in me, because when I was a kid, I used to say I wanted to be an attorney. I used to want to be a lawyer. I wrote down everything after that meeting because I didn't trust anybody. I didn't trust anything, but I documented everything. You hear me? Or die. Girlfriend wrote it down. I wrote down every conversation I had. I wrote down everything that I felt like was harassment. I wrote down everything that I felt like was not up to par at this job. Because later I was going to take it to the higher up, because what the manager or the HR representative that came up there told us was, if you have any problems, this is what she said verbatim, contact me, let me know, shoot me an email. And when I wrote down everything that I wrote down, I sent it right over to her. Now, maybe I hadn't sent everything, but I wrote down when I was feeling all of these different things going on after that and something's happening. And I actually was technically would be considered harassed at that job. Do you know, this is what you're doing. You're submitting some things to upper hand for approval, right? Right. So they can take a look at it and see how they can improve things, especially if something weird was going on at your particular residence that they knew was going on. I got called up for a meeting between the HR, my boss's boss, which was my manager at the time, and his boss that was running that particular department in the region that I was working in. And they were trying to reprimand me because I sent all this information. You're doing this. You're taking notes at your job, on your company time. You better believe I'm doing that. What do you think lawyers do? What do you think people that work in a certain demand? Yeah, if there was something going on, I'm taking job. And I was one of the best workers there, not to toot my horn, but everybody was looking for me when I came in. So, like, because I handled customer service at the highest as best as I could. And I cared about the customers because I know how it feels when I don't get my crap. I know how it feels when something's not going right with me, you know, when it comes to getting what I need to get. And of course, I always have grace for people because nobody's perfect and we all make mistakes and we all have to learn. But at the end of the day, I know what it's like to give the greatest customer service, or at least I try to. And that's why I did really well at that job. You know, they could have let me go, but they didn't, because they wanted me to stay there because I gave good customer service. But at that point in time, these people were very controlling, and they were they were not very happy people. Let me just say it as that much. And they were not happy with what I sent them. And so I technically was harassed at that job. And I could go into other things about this job in particular, but I will just state what I was going to state before, that even though you might not get what you need to get from there, you got to try. You got to put forth an effort. You got to stay with what you have going on. And at least if it's a company that cares about it, there's a lot of ethics committees at your jobs where they care about the customers. And if it's something that you did not do that happened to you, you need to go to them. And that's what they're there for. You know, that they're there for you to be able to report certain things so that they can take note of that. But I did that, and I got called into an office, and I pretty much got reprimanded. And at this point in time, I was about a temp there. Yeah. And then I started off as a temp, and I ended up getting the job full time. But at this point in time, I was already like 8 or 9, probably almost 10 months into the job. So I was already over it. And I used to always go into my job and be like, why am I here? We did get paid weekly. And we had benefits. So that was a good thing. And I liked the people that I work with. I was like, why am I here? Long story short, got called in the office. I pretty much got told I was being super sensitive because of somebody that touched me on my job, and I felt uncomfortable, and he did it twice. And there was the person that was a witness there was there. He said, yeah, man, you shouldn't be doing that. And so I went up to them and I told them that at the time I got reprimanded, and they told me I was being too sensitive. Like, this is the kind of crazy stuff that happens at jobs. And I'm just telling you what goes on at certain positions and jobs that you just need to really be aware of, and you need to take note of these kind of things. I got told that. And then after that, they were not trying to hear me out. I'm literally at this point crying on the phone and frustrated because they're not understanding or listening to me. And my manager was very spooked. I think he had one outside to smoke a cigarette or his vape at the time, because he was trying to stop smoking. God bless him, wherever you may be at this point. I don't even think he works at that job anymore. But I was pretty much reprimanded, and they were just talking about they're going to suspend me and all of this different stuff because they didn't like what I was saying, because what I was saying was the truth and I was not being rude at all. I was being the worker that was trying to be heard at this job, where they told me if I had any issues, let me know. And they didn't care about me as an employee. That was what it was. And they just wanted to control people. And that's why they were probably almost going to get sued. But we won't go into that. You know, this is what happens when you deal with people and you don't know how to run a company and you don't care about your employees. At the end of the day, the person at the HR representative was about to tell me that she was going to suspend me. But before she could do that, I told her that, hey, I'm going to just end up, I mean, I'm deciding to leave the job. I didn't tell him that, her, but I told my terminal manager at the time when I came in, when he came back in, because he couldn't be in there when the HR and people were having a conversation with me. And so at the end of the day, they were about to pretty much try to tell me to walk out and suspend me, but I had already let him know that I'm going to leave. And so when I did that, she told me, told him to tell me that, you know, you just need to walk her out. And she didn't say it like that. She said the guy's name, terminal manager's name, walk her out. I got my stuff and I walked out before he could walk me out. And I felt so free. I'm telling you, the hugest, biggest weight lifted off of my shoulder. But I stood the test of time, because even after that, I fought for unemployment. Even though they didn't give it to me, I didn't stop until I got to the very end. I'm like, I'm not going to finish this off without a fight. A girlfriend is a warrior. I'm a dangerous beauty. You don't want to mess with me. Like, and at that point, it was just like I had my money saved up. I had just got my tax return back. And it was like the spirit. And then God told me, don't touch that money. This was before. It was before I even left that job, because it was a whole month and some change before I got another job. And after that, I got hired at Microsoft. So let's just say your girl done worked 4 or 5 for my hand. I was contracted. Okay. But the beauty of it is, I'm just telling you, don't be afraid to speak up. Even if you're not heard, don't let that stir you up or fearful. I'm not mad at anybody at that job. It's just, it was a learning experience for me, because I had never experienced that before in my life. And it really felt like I was working for the Illuminati. I was like, where am I? Why do I feel like I just signed a contract and I gave over my soul? What is going on here? That's not God's will for your life. It may be your will for a moment, because you're supposed to be a light. You're supposed to live that through, and you're not supposed to give up. You're not a quitter. You're a fighter. You're a warrior, because there's a lot of darkness in every arena, and we have to be lights in a dark world. And that goes for all of us. That's what a dangerous beauty is. She kabooms. She's a TNT. She's dynamite. She wins the fight, right? AC/DC on that. But I'm just here to tell you that these are things that you're going to have to deal with. But don't ever listen to somebody to tell you that you cannot speak up at a job, that you cannot be the best that you can be and be a warrior at your job, because everybody needs to be challenged, even anybody in a management position. I'm just saying, like, I've worked with a lot of type A people. Trust me, they are some of the biggest and could be the most anxiety-driven people, because they just want everything to be perfect. They want everything to be a certain kind of way. You need type A and you need type B. I say I'm type C. I'm all of the above. Like, there's time where I have type A moments, and there's time where I have type B moments. And there's times where I'm just super just like, I'm not even going to worry about it, because there's no way that anxiety is going to get me to the place that I need to be in. You know what I mean? Like, but we need type A people, because they are people that are going to lead us to the next phase. They're going to be challenging you to the biggest, to be your best. And I love type A people. I say I'm a bit of the two. Type B people, I might be a little straggler a little bit, but I'm going to get the work done. I'm going to do it well. You know, I was just listening to one of my good, she's like my coach, online coach, Jerisha Hawk. Shout out to her. I'll be shouting her out on here. She's pretty dope. She's a spiritual gangster. I think I'm one too. I'm more of a dangerous beauty, but I got that spiritual gangster in me too. I got that fuel. But she was talking about how there's a gift in all of us, and there's something, gifts that we use. We could either be good at it or we could be excellent at it.
There's gifts that we're good at that we're just kind of, we can do it in our sleep. And so we're kind of like lax with those and mediocre. And then there's gifts that we have that we're excellent at and we need to like really focus on that. And I think that was really powerful that she said that. Go back into her live videos and you'll see it from today. But it's just like, I just think it's important for us. And I know this is on a different tangent. Now I'm talking about type A, type B personality. But it's very important that I think we really just challenge those that are even in authority over us. Like management, they're there to manage. They're not there to babysit you. So don't go to a job and acting like a baby and need somebody to just watch over you. Like, that's how you get your butt fired. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nobody needs to watch over you. You should always be able to care for yourself, be early, be on time. I'm talking to myself too, you know, any job that I work at, you know, and nobody have to baby you and tell you what to do. Be a self-starter, be a motivator. Even if it's a job that you really don't like, you know you can do it well, do over, above, and beyond. And then when that time comes and you're ready to ask for a raise, you can do that because they see your fruit, you know, of your increase, the things that you planted, the seeds that you planted, they're going to see that fruit. So it's very important for you to be the best employee that you can be too. Now, I'm here to call you to respond as far as, yeah, speak up at a job and ask for more and ask for what you're worth, but also at the time, deliver. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to seem like, well, I'm just coming after the jobs that I feel like were not feeding me well and weren't doing for me. It's easy to be that kind of employee, and I've been that employee many a times, and trust me, I've learned my lesson, because you ain't gonna ever have a job if you always think that way, you know? But, you know, you're self-starter. Be a self-starter. Be early. Be on time. Do over and beyond. You know, I worked at a certain place and I would dust off when it was dirty. You know, I worked in the accessories department and I just didn't like the dust. And I was like, when I didn't have nothing to do, I had to clean, because I'm just not going to sit here and wait for customers to come over me. I'm going to clean. I'm going to make sure I do everything the same way. And the manager was just like, you know, thank you for doing that. You know, like, I appreciate that, you know? And that was something then that made me happy, because I'm like, you know, if I'm trying to do the work, I want to get promoted later. You know, I want them to see that I'm serving in whatever department I can. Not because I just want people to see me, but because I know who I'm working for. I'm not working for them. I'm working for a GOD. He is the CEO of every company that I ever run. I just manage it. So I'm not even, well, I'm the CEO of the founder. No, no, no. He streamlined it through me. I might have that title right here on earth, but he is the ultimate CEO. He's how I get my ideas. He's the one how I get everything that I need to run. He's the one that determines who's going to work for this company and who's not. Like, he leads me. That's the way that this runs. So in order to be a dangerous beauty, you have to take the advice that I'm giving you. That's the only way that you'll get to be that DB, okay? And you can wear that with a badge of honor, because you're not only somebody that's dangerous, you're somebody that's a force to be reckoned with. A dangerous beauty is someone that enters this industry and they kill it. That's why you're dangerous. And so that's the whole point I'm trying to make. You can be the best person that you can be. You can be a woman of virtue. You can be a man of stature and of valor and kill in this industry. You know, there's so many people doing so many big things on major clients, major clientele, like celebrities. But how did they get there is the question. Who are they? And why did they get those positions? Because they were not only consistent, but I'm pretty sure they spoke up about it and they bring what they needed to bring, and they brought it and they killed it. So that's my urge to you. All right. So draw back, come back, see about this podcast more and more. I'm Cherie here for The Dangerous Beauty. You can follow my IG TVs also. You know, sometimes I speak on there about little things, nips and tucks and ticks and tweaks and trips and tips and all those different things. All right. So I love y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. I hope to hear from you soon and talk to you soon. Bye bye. Greetings, Dangerous Beauties. This is Cherie here of the Dangerous Beauty Podcast. And I wanted to come on today to talk about tone of voice. Like, what is your tone of voice? And what does your tone of voice say about you? I'm reminded of like how kind of like I grew up in a very traditional, conservative, yet libertarian, I guess if that's a word, family. Libertarian in the way of being free to express our art, a very artistic family. But I think about some of the things that you can always think about, similarities you have with people in your family. And it's just so funny because in my family, we are very passionate people. I know a lot of families are. A lot of aunties, uncles, cousins. When we communicate, we're very passionate. It's not that we don't care about one another or we're just antsy or trying to go off. It's like we're passionate when we talk about, especially a subject that we care about. And so I'm always reminded, and we always kind of sometimes have to check each other on our tone. Like, boo, your tone? Like, I remember when I was working at a job, And my boss at the time, we had never really discussed it, but I think she probably had had enough with me. Like, and you come sometimes you could get common with people because you kind of have like, you try to establish a relationship where you're a little bit more, you have a little bit more intimacy, I guess, you know, and a lot of bosses and people have that relationship, but you still try to maintain professionalism. And at this point in time, I was kind of being a little bit more common with my boss at the time. And she had just kind of checked me and she was just like, your tone? She didn't say it like that, but, and I was like, yeah, I probably need to work on that. You know, and it wasn't that I was trying to give her a lip or attitude, but I think because of the way that I grew up and the way we express ourselves to one another and how we can still, you know, you can still have brothers and sisters and you guys know how each other's are, you know, that heart of the matter outside from you actually arguing with someone, you know, at the heart and the root of your brother or your sister or whoever you're close to, they don't mean you bad, you know, they don't mean you evil, especially with friends, like even your girlfriends, you're like, girl, first of all, like, you know, how you talk with each other is just like, girl, you right, you know, you can accept it and not get offended, but sometimes, even when dealing with clients or customers, like, it's important how you address people with your tone, it's so important. I remember watching, I think it was The Real, and I love Tamara, you know, she's one of my favorites on that show. Love Jeannie, love Adrian, and love Lonnie too. Shout out to Tamar. but and I'm not trying to be shady, I really wasn't. I was just saying she was on there too, I mean, at one point in time. But I love the ladies on the show, I loved all of them in their respective roles at the time, whether they're still there or not. And I remember Tamara talking about, it's not even the fact that you say things, it's how you say it. It's all about your tone. And I was like, that is so important because a lot of times I think, even when dealing with customer service, I've been in customer service for over 10 years, sales particularly. And when you are trying to deal with people and in the service industry is one of those, it's service industry is one of the hardest things. I think for one thing, because when God created this thing, he knew that it was going to be a humbling type of job for people. Like, a service is any job. I mean, I feel like you're servicing in any position, but there are some that are higher than others, you know, as we, you know, categorize in on the earth or just in business in general. But I think humbling roles such as customer service or retail, or you really have to watch your tone with people and customers, especially over the phone. If you've ever had a job, I was a terminal clerk and I also worked at Microsoft in the UXC department. So you were always dealing with customers, clients, and prospective candidates to come in and, you know, do what they needed to do, or people that were trying to get their packages. Like, it is so hard working at companies where you are like a delivery service too, because people want their stuff now. I would even go as far as to saying, like, even as a customer, you have to completely catch yourself, because folks will know who you are later on in life. I'll never forget that this preacher or a social media influencer, well, she's a pastor too, was talking about that she was actually trying to pay a bill or something, trying to get something right with, I think it was a credit card or something, and I had watched a video of hers for encouragement, and she was just saying how she was very calm and collective in this actual, you know, this situation. She didn't never say that she wasn't in the past, but in this particular situation, she was cool. And once they figured out her name, they kind of was just like, oh my gosh, I love you. Like, I love your books. I am so encouraged by your videos and things that you post and all that different stuff. And like, she's an influencer, and she didn't, you know, the person that was on the phone is just a regular person working at a job or whatever. At that particular job, I'm not saying they're a regular person in general, like they're not. They don't matter, and the person that's on the influencer does. I wasn't trying to reference it like that, but I was just saying, like, she's just working her day-to-day job where she's not really thinking about who's on the other line. I also remember this girl told me she worked at a place where she actually helped to help Percy, Master P, his name, Percy Miller, I think Miller is his last name, his real name, pay one of his bills and his electric bill or whatever. And like, you just never know who you'll come across when you work at certain companies and who pays what bill and all that stuff. But the point of the matter was, the pastor influencer was talking about, had I not had a better tone, and it was a frustrating situation, had I not like been cool and cordial, she was just like, I could have ruined my witness. And I was like, man, that's such a good thing, because I know many times I've gotten an attitude, or I was very frustrated about customer service when I'm trying to get a bill paid, or I was just trying to get through to somebody, or I was trying to, you know, it's not all the time, but when you have just been had enough, especially when it's a company or somebody that just never is on top of their stuff, and you're always trying to be on top of stuff and they're not, it could be very frustrating. But God has really certainly like help to check me in those areas, and I still have to get checked because there are times where I get an attitude. You know, I'm not even gonna lie. I may not be as like frustrated with the person on the phone. You know, I'm always trying to make sure I still say sir, ma'am, thank you. Just be courteous, because I always remember at the time a point where I was on the phone with somebody where they were frustrated about their package, or they were frustrated about trying to come in and see, and there's not enough people, or you know, there's no more appointments available, trying to book and all this stuff. They're frustrated. You just have to be so calm. And you know, a lot of companies, they actually are recording you, you know, for performance. So it's like, you are on the other line if you're the person that's the W-2 employee and you're servicing a customer. They're going to know whether or not you are like handling that customer on point or not, you know, because they could certainly call you in the office because they realize that you are not using your best tone of voice. You're not being, you know, cordial with the customers. You're being rude. You know, but I'm just like, I have to check myself. It's like, man, what is my tone of voice saying about me? You know, like, am I passionate? Or just, you know, the people can understand your frustration. And sometimes people are able to, they're able to identify with you, and they're able to reason with you. You know, a lot of people are compassionate. Some people aren't, but some people do. People know that people go through stuff, but at the end of the day, we all do. And it still doesn't excuse us from using our tone of voice in a more positive light. You know, I think communication is important. There's so many different ways about learning how to communicate. If you are frustrated, go on YouTube, learn how to communicate with your employees, how to communicate. You will find stuff. People are doing YouTube videos on everything, how to communicate in customer service. Like, these are really great things and great tools you will find. You can even go to Eventbrite. So there's probably free events, I'm pretty sure, on Eventbrite that you can find about communication courses. Let me take that. You know, I just signed up for like a Microsoft course that was going to be online. I was like, man, let me see what this is about, you know? And it was free. It's an online course of, I can't remember what it was regarding, but I was like, hey, it's free. You know, sometimes you just need to upgrade your status, style, skills, all that different stuff. There's so much freebies out there. You know, people know how to use Canva because everybody's posting YouTube videos about it. And it makes it so much easier for everybody to kind of operate and do business. So I just wanted to encourage you and to just always take a look at yourself and your tone and how you're portraying yourself, and your image is so important. I know sometimes people get paid to be raunchy and ratchet based on their tone of voice. A lot of people are big wigs and are getting paid for that, and people love their personality, but at the end of the day, that's not reality, because good business is treating people the way you want to be treated. The golden rule in business, if you don't know that, business ethics is so important. Sometimes you do need to still get checked whether or not you're getting paid for social media to be all a hot fire mess or not. Like, you know, you still need to be checked, because at the heart of the matter is what matters, you know? So that's my encouragement for you guys today. Tone of voice matters. All right. Everyone have a blessed, joyous Tuesday. And remember to talk that talk and walk that walk. We do things in action with faith. All right. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.